get started. All right, why don't we go ahead and get started. I'm Gerald Ferry. I'm a program manager on the SharePoint team.
And I'm Mark Moraz. I'm also a program manager on the SharePoint team.
We're here to give you a sneak peek at Office Video. It's some stuff that we've been working on. We're pretty excited about it. We're also going to talk a little bit about this new vision of modern portals and how we're going to take that forward. So this is the agenda. We'll just look at this for a second, and then we'll just jump right in. So you probably heard Jeff talk a little bit about this in the keynote, Julia as well. Next-gen portals, we want them to be simple, fast, mobile. It's sort of a new vision, right? We want things to just be easy and out of the box. We want to bring together ad hoc and authoritative content. We want to let you focus on the content while allowing us to focus on how that content gets displayed. Next-gen portals will be mobile first. They're going to look great on any device. And they're going to move at the pace of your business. In talking with customers, we are realizing that video is no longer a luxury, right? It's just a requirement. I think as many of you sitting here today are either customers looking at what you're doing next, or you're working with customers.
It's keeping you awake. Keeping you awake there.
Audio and video.
We'll resort to miming, you know. Can everyone hear me now?
No.
Test.
They can hear me. They can hit if they can
I
hear.
I can. I think it's not working.
It's working. No. I'm going to use mine.
We'll switch.
Okay. So in talking with customers, we realized that video is now a requirement. It's no longer just a luxury. You know, the next solutions that you guys are building, you're looking at that. You're looking at how do you want to integrate video into those solutions, right? How can you get the affordance to scale to your entire company, to everyone who wants to consume it? How do you integrate that into your content solutions? We want to make that a whole lot easier, and we recognize the power that the cloud can bring to that, and one Microsoft. And we want to bring that world-class power to everything that we're going to deliver. So we know that video is, it's how you communicate and educate and collaborate. You know, you communicate through ideas and concepts. Video is huge, right? It's become part of our personal and work lives. You use it for onboarding, right? You use it for training and educating new employees, right? You can show them a video and they can come up to speed much quicker than if they read a 100-page document or read through large PowerPoint decks. Those of you watching this right now, you're using this video to communicate and learn with us.
That's right. We record all these sessions, and so everyone is who's watching these online, they're using video. So, can we switch mics so I can?
No.
Please. Thank you. Sorry, sound guy.
That's all in the script.
That is. This is all planned. This is all part of the plan. When we were thinking about video, we kind of want to take a little historical trip through video, right? And the first thing that Gerald and I thought of when it comes to video is, you know, what was that first instance maybe of it? Prehistoric times, right? Caveman, they etch things in the wall and they paint things on the wall and they put a series of them in a row, right? And maybe they take their torchlight and they run it back and forth. Maybe they make some shadow puppets in there, right? And they have the video going there. But who did that reach? It could only reach who could fit in the cave, right? Not very big. But then in 1893, Thomas Edison invented the Kintograph, which was this first camera that was able to take video in a series of pictures in a series and put them all on a strip. And then he invented the Kintoscope, which is pictured here. where he weaved that film strip all the way through, and he was able to, as he moved the film, you could look through a little viewfinder, and you could see a moving picture. He held an exhibition of that at the Brooklyn Institute in 1893. There was a line around the block for it, but only one person at a time could come in and look at that device. If we jump ahead to the 20s, right now video and movies is starting to pick up. They had the picture palaces in, where you could fit 1,000, 2,000 people into a movie theater and all watch it at the same time. Then 1945, we jump, there's about 10,000 televisions in the United States. Not a very big reach, but it's starting to become part of our everyday life. Then you jump ahead 5 years, 1950, 6 million televisions in the United States. That's a giant jump. That's just a testament to how video is just consuming and is a part of our everyday life. 10 years ahead, 60 million televisions in the United States. Giant, giant jump. And then we go ahead a little bit forward, 2006, video on the internet, right? YouTube hits the scene, and in about 2006, they have about 100 million views of their videos online, which is crazy numbers. Now, we're not quite at the future yet, right? We don't have holograms projected out into the galaxy where we can all watch the same video at the same time. But where are we? Thanks for laughing. 2012, 2014, Windows Azure Media Services starts bringing the power of the internet and streaming to the Summer and Winter Olympics. In the London Olympics in 2012, 217 million unique viewers streaming through Azure Media Services, watching the Olympics online, watching it on mobile devices, watching it on Xboxes, watching it wherever they are. And then in 2014, the Sochi Olympics. The numbers aren't fully tabulated yet, but they beat a record for streaming at a single event. Over 2.1 million people tuned in to one single event, the Canada versus the U.S. hockey game.
Mark, who won that match?
What do you mean, who won that match, eh? So, but what else is missing from this,
I think,
right?
There's something else missing here.
Right? 2014, our slides don't have the stuff.
This could be a font kerning issue, I believe.
Can we jump out and put the other one on? Keep going. All the slides will look great. All right, we'll keep going. Well, this was a picture of Office 365 with Azure Media Services above it. We're bringing you the power of Windows Azure Media Services to Office 365, right? The same thing that powers the Olympics is going to be able to power your video portal with Office 365. So we're proud to introduce
Office Video,
an out-of-the-box
enterprise streaming portal
that's ready to use on day one. That's right, we're creating a portal that's going to be there for you right away to use with little to no setup. So let's jump over into the system and actually take a look at what this looks like. So as part of our vision for next-gen portals and as part of our vision for Office Video, we know that mobile experiences are going to be very important. I mean, it's really important with video. You want to take video with you wherever you go. You want to be able to catch up on stuff as you're commute home on the train. And so we're going to show you what video looks like on this device. We have an iPhone here. So let's find, right there, Office Video. We'll launch this app. Now, I'm already logged into Office Video, but if I wasn't, I'd be using the same Office 365 login and password that I'd use to get my email or get into SharePoint Online. So right here, we have a great mobile experience right on the phone. At the top, we have what we're calling Spotlight Videos. This is curated content that the owner of the video portal can put right here. And below that, we have Popular section and some other channels. Here's a training channel. Marketing channel. So let's jump in and take a look at this video. So here's the video. Contoso, whose video portal we're looking at right now, they appointed a new CEO recently. And so they made a video from that new CEO to the rest of the organization. And they spotlighted it right at the top so everyone who comes into the video portal can see it right away. You get to the details page here. You get to see all the metadata about the video. We click on it and it will start playing.
You know, think about all the data we're collecting in the world now, and we also have new technology now to visualize that data.
So this is using full adaptive streaming, the same kind of streaming that you're used to with consumer video products, with using Netflix or using Hulu or even YouTube, right? It's using adaptive streaming. So the player is figuring out the right bit rate that needs to be sent to the device at the time. It measures your bandwidth. If you have low bandwidth, it sends you a lower quality. You have higher bandwidth, it sends you a higher quality. And you get that streaming right there on demand automatically with the power of Windows Azure Media Services. So if we go back to here, that was just a few of the channels on the Spotlight channels, but if we click on the menu, you can see you can get access to all of the other channels that are inside your video portal. So let's take a switch here and look at what Office Video looks like on the browser.
Yeah, and I would just add in here that, you know, the app will be available at when we have general availability in the App Store like you would expect any of the other apps as well. We'll talk a little bit more about that later.
Sorry for all the switching around here. All right. So this is Office Video on the browser. It's simple. It's clean. We're really going for something where it's a great place to share video and discover video. This is going to be available inside of Office 365. You're going to be able to click a link, and you just come here with little to no setup at all. So at the top, we talked about, you saw it on the iPhone. These are Spotlight videos across the top here. These are, we want to bring together the authoritative content with the ad hoc content. We want to bring together the curated content with the uncurated content. And so that's what we're doing here with Office Video. The owner of the video portal gets to spotlight a handful of videos to the top, ones that they find important. So here's that same message from the CEO that we saw on the phone right here in the browser as well. We click on it, and we go to the video player page, and the video will start playing.
You know, think about all the data we're collecting in the world now.
Again, using that adaptive streaming, it's figuring out the right format to send to the browser. It doesn't always, video doesn't work the same on Chrome versus IE. You have to have the right format. And so it figures all that out, sends it to you right away. On the browser here, we have a little bit of more room than on the phone, and so we can pull in, you know, related videos. So have you a great way to go and discover new content inside the video portal. We've also integrated Yammer directly into our video portal. Yammer is a great way for you, your organization, to become responsive, right? And so we've circled Yammer around all of our videos. Every video in the video portal is going to have a Yammer feed to the right of it. And so you'll be able to, if you post in Yammer or you post in the video portal, no matter what group you post to, all of those conversations will be shown right here in the video portal. So for example here, Steve was watched this video from the new CEO of Contoso and said, hey, you were talking about in the video about site visits recently, and I was wondering if I could have more information on those. And so he posted that comment, and Julia, the new CEO, actually jumped in and responded right there and said, hey, I don't have the report compiled yet, but I'll post it back to this group when it's ready. And so I don't even know, as a viewer of this, about this superlative support group in Yammer. But if I click on it, I can jump right over into Yammer and join that group. And so if I wanted to join that group, then when the new CEO posts that information, I could get access to it myself. So if we go back to the homepage, below the Spotlight section is a popular section. This is videos that are trending in your organization. This is powered by the Office Graph that you guys have heard so much about. And so we can click in and see information in there in the popular section. This is a great way to see what's trending across your organization, what people are finding helpful and useful, what people are actually watching. And so you can see all the videos in the popular section, all the videos across your entire portal, organized by what their popularity is. Below that is these Spotlight channels. So Spotlight channels are the ability for the owner of the video portal to pick a few channels that they think are really important to their organization and then spotlight them right on the homepage. So, for example, at Contoso, they really believe in ongoing training of their employees. They believe that their employees should always be learning and bettering themselves and becoming more efficient employees. So they created a training channel right there, and they're spotlighting it on the top of their video homepage, so every time someone comes here, they can see that and get access to that information. They spotlighted their marketing channel and then a community channel. We'll talk more about this in a little bit, but this is going to be a channel that we're going to create for you out of the box with every Office Video portal, and it's going to be there where everyone can participate. Everyone's going to be able to share their videos without having to wait on someone to get them uploaded into the portal. So let's take a look at the training channel. So with Office Video, we wanted a great place to share and discover videos. And we wanted that to be a single well-known place, a destination inside your organization where all the videos are. And so with that, we wanted to provide a way to organize videos within that single well-known place. And so to do that, we did that with channels. Channels is a way to group all of your videos together. And it's also the way that you're going to be able to set permissions. Who's the owner of that channel? Who has upload rights into that channel? Who can only view it? And maybe who can't even see that channel at all? And we're using the great power of SharePoint's security model and permissions. That's how we're surfacing permissions with channels, the same thing that you're used to with SharePoint. So at the top of the video, top of a channel, there are spotlight videos again. So each channel owner gets to spotlight their own video. So you get a bit of curation on your own for every channel. Below that spotlight section is just the list of the videos that are in that channel. And on the left, that's categorization there. So as the owner of a video channel, you can pick a list of what things people should be able to tag videos who upload into your channel. And so every time someone uploads, they would tag it with one of those terms. So here, Contoso set up their training channel. And they've organized it by role. So I can see right here, if I click on the operations role, I could see all the videos that maybe apply to people in the operations role at Contoso. You also get the ability to sort it by popularity and newest. So you have really great ways to discover and find videos that matter to you in the organization. So with that, let's jump back over into the slides.
That's great. Thanks, Mark. So you just saw a great demo. We've looked at the iPhone app. We looked at the video portal as it looks in the browser. Now let's explore a little bit of, you know, what you get out of the box. So with enterprise video, right, you want to provide the same assurances as other enterprise content solutions, right? So when we looked through this, we said, you know, it needs to be secure because you want to be able to give access to those people. You want to allow people to manage and upload videos, but you don't want everybody to have access necessarily without that authorization. So everyone in your organization, you can manage them through the proper security that you're used to. You want it to be simple, right? Out of the box, it's going to work. People are going to know what to do. They're going to know how to upload a video. You're going to have, you know, some simple dials and levers by which to manage the content. And you want it to be fast, right? You want it to be performant. And as well, you want those videos to play right away. You don't want to have to wait, you know, for a few minutes while you're downloading a video so that you can play it back, right? And you want it to be scalable. In this day and age, you know, companies are global, or you may have partners that you're working with. And you might want to reach, you know, 1 or 10 people. But what happens when you want to reach 100 or 1,000 or even your entire company globally, right? You want to be able to scale to all of those endpoints. And, of course, to reach all of those endpoints, you're going to want to have this mobile-first affordability, right? So you want to be able to reach all the devices, whether those are personal devices, phones, tablets, et cetera. And so we're thinking about all of these things in the out-of-the-box solution. So with the portal, right, you get out-of-the-box this video solution. You get adaptive streaming. You get the integration with Office 365. We're going to give you channels and categories so that you can tailor your content and curate that so people can find what they're looking for. We're going to secure the delivery of the streaming video, right? AES secure encryption is going to allow you to know that your content is safe. We're going to build mobile apps as these endpoints, right, so that you can reach all the devices. We're going to integrate tightly with Oslo, as you heard a little bit about in the keynote, and if you attended the Oslo session, you heard more about it there. But Oslo is going to really light up the Office graph and allow all of this content to really shine. And then Yammer, right? We want to bring in that social aspect, as you saw Mark present earlier, so that those conversations can light up around these videos, right? And this content can integrate. And you can jump in from Yammer itself, or you can come right to the player page. So what does that all really mean? I think many of you in the audience may be familiar with, you know, if you stand up a site template, what does that look like? It's kind of empty until you do something with it. And I think, you know, what this is going to bring to bear is on day one, you haven't curated anything yet. Maybe you haven't uploaded any videos, right? But we really want it to shine. And so out of the box, you're going to get an Office 365 help channel, right? It's going to have some really great content in there that's going to help you really, you know, empower Office 365. You're going to have the community channel so that your organization can begin to use this video portal right away. They're going to, be able to upload a video, begin sharing their lessons learned. It's just going to be this viral experience that will really light it up. And then you're going to have the rest of the controls that are ready to go. You have the spotlight videos, right? And right at the top, you're going to get videos about the video portal and how to use Office and how to upload a video. These are really simple things. We believe that it's going to be so simple to use on day one. You're not going to need a whole lot of how do I do this, right? It's just going to be really intuitive. So with that, let's take a step back. Right? In SharePoint 2013, we really made video a first-class citizen, and we did a lot of work so that you could go in and you could build a video portal solution with a few simple steps. There's some great documentation out there. There's some great examples out there. But essentially, you go in, you can customize your master page and your layouts, customize your home page. You can bring in your styles and really make it shine. Customize your player page, what you really want to show up there. The call out allows you to play automatically. And we're building on top of that, right? We're doing all of that work for you, right? And bringing that into the Office Video Portal already built. In 2013, you have Progressive Download that really helps you bring that stream down. And in Office Video, we're integrating with WAM so that, it just streams right away and it's fast and ready to go. Carrying that kind of vision a little bit further, right? Management and settings. I think, if you've ever been an admin in SharePoint, it can be a little bit overwhelming. You have the settings pages and there's lots of settings that are there. We believe that just the right amount is simple and clean and intuitive, right? How many settings do you really need? You don't need a billion flips and switches to make this work for you. You're going to need permissions, obviously, right? You want to control who gets access to this, who can manage, who can upload, who can create channels, right? You want to have some settings for categories so that you can control how this content shows up in search. You're going to have some affordances for adding and removing channels. You're going to have the ability to spotlight channels and videos, right? You want to be able to promote your content. And of course, you're going to get some affordances for branding, such as being able to apply a color to your tile for your channels. So we looked a little bit at the video portal, what we're thinking out of the box. Now let's look at some key use cases.
So again, I apologize, the slides got messed up. Maybe Gerald can try and grab the new one off the thumb drive while we go in here. But so key uses, we talked to customers, we did focus groups, we looked at research, and these are kind of the key uses that popped out for us, that people use video in the enterprise today and how people could use Office Video in the future. And that's training, corporate messaging, community help desk. But instead of just talking from slides, let's actually jump into Contoso's system and take a look at what some of those channels would look like for them. So again, we already saw this training channel, but training is a huge use case for video in the enterprise. HR uses it to educate and certify their employees. You use it to onboard new staff and new employees. Having a training channel is a great use of video to be able to organize all those together. And again, Contoso did this by role, but you can do it however you want. Another great use for training is this channel here, this product teardowns channel. So being able to educate your sales and field people is a really great use of video. Video allows you to do more things than you can with just the written word, right? You can take video of the product, you can tear it apart, you can put it back together. You can show people how to use it and how to sell it and how to support it. Video allows you to have a consistent message that is repeated over time and time again, which is invaluable when it comes to training your sales and field staff. The other big use case that we see for video is corporate messaging. So we'll take a look at a few channels for corporate messaging. One of them is the executive corner here. So here Contoso set up a channel called the executive corner. And they're using this to allow their leadership to speak to the rest of the company. It's very valuable for all of our organizations to have the executives, the directors, the owners of our companies and our organizations to be able to speak directly to everyone, no matter where they are. Whether they're in your home office and they get to interact with those leaders all the time, or they're all in your field offices throughout the world. So here, Contoso set up a channel on, you know, have everything from quarterly briefs to roundtables to messages from the CEO and the board. Another great use for corporate messaging is for company meetings. I know personally from myself, I've sat through lots of company meetings, and there's always good stuff said in those meetings, but I don't necessarily have a pen with me, or it doesn't resonate exactly with me. It doesn't apply to my work at that time. But when I go back to my desk, you know, a day later, a week later, a month later, I think to myself sometimes, I'm like, I'm working on this issue. We talked about it in that company meeting. It's really invaluable to be able to jump back into a place where you have an archive of all of your company meetings, be able to find that specific company meeting and jump directly to that location and hear that same thing said again. It's super valuable. Another great use is for community, which we talked about. So like we said, we're going to create a community channel for you with every video portal. This is a way that we allow ad hoc content to shine through, the way we allow everyone in your organization to be able to participate. And we envision people using it for things to share and collaborate, posting announcements, tips and tricks, anything that they're passionate about. You know, if I make something really cool and of a video about some product and I want to share it with people, I don't want to have to take the time to be able to wait on an administrator to upload it. I want to be able to just come here, drop it off in the community channel, and then share it with other people. So let's take a pause on the key uses here and kind of look at the upload scenario. Since we're talking about the community channel, let's take a look at what it looks like to upload. If we click into the My Upload section of Office Video, this is the place where you can upload videos. This is the place where it shows all of the videos that you've uploaded, that you're the owner of, or that you've uploaded. Now, I'm logged in as an administrator here. So I get to see a bunch of channels. But most people who log into Office Video and come to this page are really only going to be able to see that community channel, because that's probably the only one they're going to have permissions to. So uploading a video is as simple as taking a file, dragging it and dropping it into there, and now it's uploading the video into SharePoint Online. After it's done uploading the video into SharePoint Online, we'll see a message that it's getting the video ready. What we're doing is we're sending that video over to Azure Media Services. They're doing all the hard work. They're doing the transcoding. They're splitting it out into multiple bit streams and figuring out what the right format is for each video. So we will, let's take a look at what it also looks like on the phone. If you could switch over to number 5. So again, mobile experiences with next-gen portals and with Office Video. So we're giving you the ability to be able to upload right from the iPhone. You hit the plus sign at the top of the video portal. You can hit choose existing, or you could take a video. You can grab a video. You can hit choose. You can give it a title. You can fill out other metadata. You can pick what channel you're going to put it into, give it a description, and you can upload, and it's off onto sending it on to SharePoint Online and to Azure Media Services. So let's jump back to the slide to over here. We'll take a look at the last key use that popped out to us when we were talking to customers, and that's a help channel. So Contoso has kind of a small IT department, and they were getting lots and lots of issues and tickets coming into their help desk, and they were getting overwhelmed. So they took a step back, and they looked at what are all those top issues that are coming in, and they found out that if they categorized them all, that there was just, you know, a handful of issues that were really common that were happening over and over again. So what they did is they made short little videos for all of those top issues, and they uploaded them into this help desk channel. And, you know, anything from how to set up a mobile hotspot to setting VPN up, or, you know, getting BitLocker set up. Simple issues that people can solve themselves. And so they created them into this video channel, and they even categorized them in the same way that they would have categorized help tickets that came in when I was going to make a help ticket. So they put them all in here, and they made a self-service help desk, where people in Contoso's organization could just come in here, find a video, and answer problems on their own. So the top key uses that we said we went over were community, training, corporate messaging, and help desk. But that's only a few of the ones that, you know, popped out to us. You're really only limited by your imagination on what you can use video for and what you can use office video for in your organization. So we'll jump back to the slides here.
Thanks, Mark. That was a great demo of the scenarios. So we looked at some key use cases here. I know people are interested a little bit in the architecture, so we're going to touch on that a little bit. We're not going to dive too deep into that, but we feel like, you know, it's important to cover sort of what we're building on top of. So as you know, Office Video sits on top of SharePoint Online and Azure Media Services, right? And so kind of the reasoning behind this, we wanted to take advantage of what SharePoint brings to bear, right? So we've got the content storage that we've all grown accustomed to using, and the metadata and how that's tied together with everything. The security and compliance that you've grown accustomed to using over the years, and of course the search integration, right? And even now it's going to be better with Oslo and the Office Graph and bringing that in as well. On the Azure side, right, we kind of leave some of the heavy lifting, if you will, the compute and other affordances to them, right? So the transcoding of the files, right? They're going to create these bitrate streams and store them over there. The adaptive streaming, they're going to take care of all of that for us as well. The secure delivery, right? Everything's going to be locked down so that you can rest assured that your content is secure. And they're going to create the thumbnails and the media that's associated with these videos so that that's easy to do as well. Then, of course, on top of that, in integrating with Office 365, right, we have the channels and curation experience up there. We're bringing in the Yammer social aspect of all of this. And then you're going to have all of the endpoints, the mobile apps, and the adaptive UI. All of this bringing together to bring world-class video portal experiences. So with that, let's take a look at sort of the life of a video as we upload it and bring it through this process, right? So as a user, you log into the Office Video Portal, and we're going to authenticate you against Office 365, right? SharePoint's going to verify you, and then once you've been verified, upload that into your content store, right? And then SharePoint Online is going to pass that securely over to Azure Media Services, where we're going to create those different bitrate streams and store those. And they're going to pass us back a pointer to those files, right? And we're going to store that in the metadata. And then, as we said before, they're also going to create some thumbnails. We're going to put those in the content store so that we have those along with the rest of the video content. From there, the viewers can come in, right? They're going to come in and want to watch those videos. Again, we're going to authenticate them against Office 365, right? They're going to gain access to that. You know, if they have access to that channel, maybe it's a private channel, maybe it's it's an open channel. But essentially, they'll need to be on Office 365 and given those permissions. They're going to authenticate against SharePoint Online. And then we're going to pass them back a token, right, which they're going to pass over to Azure Media Services. And Azure is going to pass them back the proper bitrate stream based on what the video player on their end is saying that their bandwidth is, what their player is, what their platform is, right? And so this is really where the rubber hits the road, if you will, right? This is how the guts of the system really work. So that was just a high-level overview of sort of the architecture and the technology behind this. Now let's dive in a little bit deeper and look at Azure Media Services. So how many in the room are familiar with Azure Media Services and what it brings to bear today? Okay, that's not too bad. So as you know, I mean, Windows Azure is basically infinitely scalable, right? We have Windows Azure Media Services. We've got these really, you know, prime customers that use it today, the CW, NBC Sports. The Olympics have been real big hits, you know, in 2012 and 2014. And then Xbox, right? That's I think we're familiar with Xbox, right? Yeah, so. Well, the real story here is that this premium service that these big companies use, these premium, you know, providers of content, we can bring that to your organization through Office 365. Right? You may not need to use it to the same level of scale as they do, but just think of, you know, what that brings. Let's put that into context a little bit. So if we look at the 2012 Olympics, right, that was 18.5 petabytes of data that were delivered. Like, that's a pretty big, I don't even know how big that bucket is, right? If I had to carry that around, what would that look like? 160 million streams, 217 million viewers. I don't even know of a company that has that many employees, but you know, that would be kind of interesting. In 2014, we upped the ante a little bit different metrics here, right? 100 terabytes of video, 6,000 hours, a record-setting 2.1 million views for a single event, right? So I think the last record was the 2012 Super Bowl. And of course, anyone who's familiar with Xbox, and if you're not, I mean, Xbox One came out and they said, hey, let's get this great feature to users, right? Let's say they can take these video clips of their in-game play and we'll just put those up into the cloud. Well, how are we going to support that? Well, Azure Media Services is behind all of that, right? So in a three-month period, 98 million videos, right, were uploaded. That's over a petabyte of videos. And NBC Sports, you know, we've got English Premier League, 310 events, 930 hours. We've also got PGA Golf, 57 matches with at 195 hours. You know, the purpose of this slide is really to show just the scalability, right? It's nearly limitless compute for Azure Media Services. You know, Office Video uses the same technology. So with that, let's take a little bit deeper dive into sort of the metrics behind that.
So some of you are wondering, what does Azure Media really support, and what does Office Video support? So here's the nitty-gritty detail right here on what it actually supports. The big picture of this, though, is that just about any kind of video format that you're used to and have out there, it's going to be supported by Azure Media Services and by Office Video. And whatever that format is, you're going to be able to dump that into Office Video. We're going to send it on through, transcode it, and what you get out the other end is the ability to stream anywhere to any device. So Azure supports all the common codecs and formats and audio files ability as well. And then what are we going to produce? This is what our code is at right now. We're outputting H.264 up to 720p picture. Anywhere from 400 to 3,000 kilobits per second stream. And we're going to use Apple's HLS or Smooth Streaming or the new MPEG Dash based on what the right thing is for the device that you're using. But this is a cloud service. So we're going to be constantly tweaking this, constantly figuring out what the right parameters are into all these encoding methods are so that your video looks great all the time really easily without you having to worry about it. So let's take a look at what other things we're getting from Azure Media Services. We're getting great secure delivery, and we're going to do that with AES encryption. So every video file that comes out of Azure down to your into your browser, into your mobile device, into your tablet is going to be secured. It's going to be encrypted, and the player is going to be able to decrypt it and guarantee that only they can play it back. So it's going to protect against any sort of man-in-the-middle attacks. We're going to do that through Smooth Streaming or through Apple's HLS protocol. And then we're going to get the adaptive streaming, which we talked a lot about. You get to stream to any device on any network. And we're going to do it all dynamically. So the same video file that would play on an Apple phone may not play on an Android or may not play on a Windows phone, or the same video file that plays on Chrome may not play on IE. And so we're going to take all of that work for you, handle taking it from our format and putting it into the right format that is the best format for each device automatically, dynamically. So this is where we are. We're heading towards the close here. You got to see architecture, a bit about Azure Media Services. Now let's talk a little bit about discovery. So once you get all of your videos into the Office Video Portal, you can always go back to Office Video Portal because it's a great place to share and to discover. But we've also integrated with the Office Graph, and we're integrated with Oslo. So you got to see this a little bit at the keynote yesterday, but we'll jump in and show you a little demo of that. And actually, before I switch over to that demo, you can see how easy it is. We actually had someone from our team upload a video from this session just from the beginning. Right there, you're able to play it back. The video is really simple, easy. Jump it into the community channel.
Mark, that's you and me.
Wait. That's probably when our slides were
broken.
That was
in this session?
Yeah. That was when our mics weren't working, probably. So we're going to jump into Oslo. Oslo is built on the Office Graph. And the Office Graph is the ability to take all the information about you, all the who you work with, who you work for, all the content that you've edited, the content that you've viewed, that you've liked, that you've talked about, that you've discussed on Yammer. And it circles all of that information, all those signals, right? And it puts it all around you. And then it allows it, Oslo allows you to visualize all that. You can see great things about presented to me because we know what meetings, the office graph knows about what meetings you were in and what was presented in there and what's shared and modified and liked. So we'll take a look at trending. So alongside these PowerPoints, these Word documents, these normal office content is this video file. This is a video that was played during the keynote, so it's trending right now around me. We're bringing our videos that are in the Office Video Portal into the Office Graph and into Oslo, and you're able to play those videos, find them, discover them, have personalized insights into those videos. So if I click on the video, it will jump us over to the player page, and it will start playing once it loads. And
there's a new world of work out there.
You get the video playing
mobile,
right there,
so
automatically, right from Office Graph. So why do we do this with out-of-the-box portals? Why are we doing, what is this concept with next-gen portals? This is one of those reasons why we're doing it. If we create the portal for you out of the box, we know where channels are. We know where the videos live. We know what was curated content and what was not curated content. And we can feed all of those signals into the Office Graph and be able to create for you great experiences like this with Oslo and personalized insights and personalized discovery. So with that, let's jump back to the slides and wrap up.
So today we talked a little bit about, you know, the next gen and portals. We used the video portal as one example in this new vision that we have going forward. You know, the simple, fast, you know, ready to go out of the box. You know, we really believe in this vision, integrating with Office 365 and the social nature of Yammer, integrating with WAMS and bringing that power of, you know, performance, you know, into the solutions that we offer. You know, and the other thing is everyone can participate on day one, right? They don't have to wait for your administration or the IT request that's hanging in the queue to get completed. You know, when you need something, it's going to be there. It's going to be ready to go right away. You know, so with that, I think we'll open it up to Q&A. But we'd like to thank a few people first. So with that, there's no audio.
Yeah, it's because audio's not on there. There was a little song. It's not on that machine. Sorry. But if you, we're going to also invite up Vishal and Steve. They're from the Azure Media Services team, so if you have questions from Azure, they were a huge part of all of this. They're going to come up. They'll be able to answer questions. This isn't available right now, but if you're more interested in Office Video and becoming seeing a little bit more of it, you can go down to the Customer Programs booth and sign up for the NDA Preview Program. So we'll open it up for questions. Bring in the other mic. Please come to the microphones.
Hey, thanks a lot.
So the question is, are we going to have archiving capabilities? Yeah, that's a really great question. And you know, in Office and SharePoint, we have, you know, these affordabilities. And as we get closer to GA and we're integrating these are things that we're thinking about. We can't give you a definitive answer on that today. Okay. As we get closer to GA, we can better announce that, but you know, it's coming very soon.
Okay.
that should be a scenario that is supported eventually. You know, initially we're looking at, you know, creating this for your enterprise and for your organization. So anyone that you give access to the videos could play these. I think you're talking about a public site, and certainly that would be something that'll come in as a future.
Like today we can use Azure Media Services. We do that for streaming the videos out publicly. We're just curious how we can use this from a content creation point of view. So if we could just flip that switch to say, yes, we want these available.
Ideally, this would be how that would work.
Okay, that's right. Thank you.
We have a requirement to integrate quizzes and tests into our training. Yeah, will you be able to support that? And particularly, are you considering achieving SCORM compliance?
I can't hear him. I can't quite hear, yeah.
We have a requirement to integrate quizzes and tests into our training. Will you be able to support that? And certificates of completion, and maybe even SCORM compliance.
Yeah, this is.
Yeah, so the question is, the gentleman has a requirement around having questions integrated into the video and submitting training completions and stuff like that. So short answer is we don't.
Yeah, integration of quizzes, tests, certificates of completion, maybe even SCORM compliance.
Yeah, so we don't have that for V1, but post that, we are looking at that scenario. We're also looking at publishing some extension APIs that developers can enhance the functionality out of the box. Okay. Well.
And also, will you be able to, in this interface, serve videos from other sources and present them? We have a very active YouTube channel. Yeah, will we be able to present a YouTube video as a stream through this kind of portal?
That was my same question.
We're considering some of these scenarios, and some affordances are being thought about, like how we want to best support that. I mean, we recognize that that is a very common scenario, though. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't hear that question. Maybe it's the same, but how about content delivery across the world? It's usually a problem with video, for instance, in Australia and places
yeah,
like
so
that.
Yeah, so as you saw in the presentation, all of this is powered by Azure Media Services. All of the streaming is fundamentally happening over an HTTP network. So what it means is, while we don't have a CDN to offer in this release, but very shortly we could add that capability, but you could also work with some of your existing CDNs for this. So yeah, and one more thing to add there is, even though we go over HTTP networks, all of the streaming is happening encrypted, so all of your content is always secure, even though cache proxies can cache it.
And the other thing I want to mention on that is that in addition to using a CDN, some folks want to do caching inside the corporate network, and we also plan to support the ability to do that as well, so that you can have caches that sit inside your network and serve content out of there, as opposed to having to use a public CDN to do the delivery.
Good morning. This is really great stuff. So two questions. One, for the folks in the room here that have projects on the horizon, can you give us a general idea? Is it a Q2, Q3? Q4, when it'll be available?
Yeah, we can't announce like right now, but you know we're coming soon. You know, I think you know we're giving you a preview now, and really, you know, the best way to be involved is to sign up for the preview program at the TAP and to just jump right in. Yeah.
Okay. So the other question is, what type of licensing in Office 365 is required for this?
We'll know more about that closer to GA. We're working through that right now.
Okay. Thanks.
And about live stream support. Live stream.
Yeah, as once again, as you saw, this the very first release focuses on video on demand. But since it's built on the platform, which has been used for very large scale live events, we will bring that to you in the future as well.
Yep. All right. Thank you.
So until you release the current approach to the video doc set, that has the ability to add related content like transcripts and other documents. Will this new portal offer that?
Yeah, in V1, we're not going to have that right there, but we're looking at that for the future to be able to link in other content so you can have you know, your PowerPoints, your other stuff related right alongside of it. We're thinking about it.
And will there be a process to move the video doc set into this new solution?
We're still working out the migration details on what it means versus Office Video versus stuff that's in existing SharePoint. We're still trying to work through those details.
Thank you.
Two questions. First, in a hybrid environment with federated search, would we be able to pull in thumbnails and previews to an on-premise search center?
So is the question on hybrid between on-prem and online?
On-prem and Office 365.
This is another scenario that we feel is an important one, and we're working through the details on it. We don't have a solution for it today, but it's definitely something that's on our vision chart. So
theoretically, if it's an Office 365 cloud solution, we would potentially be able to use federated search, but you just haven't.
I believe one thing you can do is if you have the video portal hosted in Office 365 and your AD is federated, that scenario should work. But once again, we're finalizing some of those finer details, and we'll know more as we get closer to GA.
All right, and second question, have you considered the use case where we may want to allow the download of a video for users to embed in a PowerPoint presentation or otherwise use offline?
So download is an important scenario as well. One of the things we are also doing is, if you notice, I don't know if you did or not, but we don't support DRM technology today. We are doing AES encryption. AES encryption works great for scenarios where you're streaming, but it doesn't work all that well for download scenarios. So once we have the DRM capability, which is also on our roadmap, we will support download as well, because then we can ensure that even though you're downloading videos, only you can watch them and not anybody else, or you cannot share it outside and some other video leaks.
Thank you.
Great presentation. It was very informative. Had a question. For those of us that aren't quite yet ready to go in Office 365 and we have large existing on-prem 2013 installations, will any of the functionality and the enhancements that you're putting into the cloud Azure Media Services, is any of that going to eventually get into future releases of on-prem SharePoint?
Yes.
Sure. I mean, we're still working through the details of what is going to be in on-prem and what's not going to be on-prem. I mean, obviously, this is built on the power of Azure Media Services in the cloud. So we'll have to work through all those details and see, is it even possible for us to do something like that on-prem?
Okay. Yeah, because I know, like, we're internally looking at, Server 2012, R2, smooth streaming capability and that kind of thing. So I'm presuming some of that technology is being used for the Azure piece. So that's why I'm curious, is any of that going to...
Yeah, I think one more thing to add there is a lot of our partners in the space have already integrated on-prem solutions with Azure Media Services. So it's just a matter of figuring out where that is in terms of the ask from customers and all that. So please do provide your feedback, and we'll do take into reference.
Sounds good. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Exciting stuff. On the download scenario, is there a plan for multiple renditions?
Sorry, your question is for download, is there a plan to do what, sorry?
A multiple rendition, so I just want to allow users to download a low-quality video, not the highest
version. So, correct. So once we support download, that'll be a key part of it. We don't want to download all the qualities for them. So you can choose based on where you are, especially on your phone, especially depending on what phone you have, you may not need 720p. So we will take that into effect, yes.
And we have a special case where we have a lot of sales presentation which have embedded videos in it. Would this provide any sort of solution to those PowerPoint decks?
I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time hearing you.
The ed sales team has a lot of PowerPoints which have embedded videos in it.
I see.
So would this solve those problems where we can still stream videos instead of having them embedded within PowerPoints?
Video embedded in PowerPoint. Do you guys want to do that one, or should I just answer? So.
It's marketing stuff, so it's what
has... Video embedded in PowerPoint is something that I think is a little bit outside of the scope of this immediately, but is definitely, it's a scenario that I think Office 365 as a whole is considering, how do we go about the modern way of approaching content embedding and this sort of thing, right?
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Hi there. We currently use on-prem, and we do our own IS, smooth streaming with Transform Manager and stuff. So this is obviously quite interesting to us. But again, I suppose building on that question about whether this sort of functionality, whether you could have a hybrid approach of using this integrated with on-prem functionality. So we'd be interested in finding out more about that.
This is a really great topic. And I think this is, if you want to come by the booth, we could talk probably more at length about, what we're thinking about in this area. We know that, this is going to be attractive to on-prem customers as well as customers in the cloud. And, we're certainly looking at those scenarios and looking for the value in that.
And also on the reporting as well, would you be able to report on whether someone's viewed a video in full or whether they've stopped halfway to give us an ability to see
more about analytics what people are very a very key scenario to us, right? In V1, you know, we'll probably have, you know, some affordance for that, and you know, we're going to build on that as we go forward, getting feedback from customers and looking at, you know, what's working, what are people using, what's the information you need to drive your business forward, and know like what people are consuming. The training scenario that was brought up earlier is a really good example of where that could apply.
And finally, one of the things that we find really useful is having when people do videos and that, there's often linked documents. Is there anything that you've got in this space as well, linking documents to video content?
Yeah, the idea of related documents. So this is a scenario that we're considering. It's not clear yet if this will make the V1, but it is definitely on our backlog, and we're going to be considering how to best do that. I mean, that doesn't make sense if you can't associate all this stuff. Like Oslo's going to do that to some extent, right? And we're going to be able to make that, bring that bubble of that up so that everything really shines there.
Okay, cool. Thank you very much.
Hi there. I'm sorry, I have the microphone. I'm teasing you.
So I think
it's a joke. Did you want to? You know. So here's my question. You mentioned that you're not doing DRM, digital rights management, which is really protecting a file from copying and so on. However, you're modeling video content just like you'd model any other content, right? Custom metadata and so on. Can you embed rights management, not DRM, but rights management, so usage restrictions, geographic embargoes, time frames and windows, ultimate use, to do two things. One is to look at licensed content, but also there may be IP issues, right? You may have something that's specific for one customer, can't be used with another. I'm thinking about field service enablement. And I saw a demo where you can check on the contents of email with and look at a file and say, does this contain sensitive information, and then pop something up and warn the user, and you know, so your information policy. Can you do something similar here where you're invoking that same mechanism so as you're using something or distributing it, you can look at the rights management?
Yep. So video is kind of a special case here because the traditional rights management that you do for email and stuff doesn't quite work for video. You need to encrypt the video in a particular way for it to be able to stream inside standard players and stuff.
But if you put metadata on it that said something and you had a policy around that, yeah?
Sorry to jump in. So few important things to think about. The content, although it's backed by Azure, at the end of the day, it's SharePoint.
Right.
So we have all the SharePoint affordances on our content, and the team is working with the information protection team to figure out sort of the next steps and how we move forward. So think about the videos as streamed from Azure, managed by SharePoint.
Right.
So that's sort of the basic architecture you want to think about. Mm-hmm. Whatever you want to do with the SharePoint mm-hmm. content itself, whether it's secure and, you know, geo-distributed, all those things are a SharePoint conversation. Mm-hmm. Does right. that help a little bit?
Yeah, no, that's great. So I think rights management is very important. Okay, thank you.
Will there be multiple office video portals available per tenant, or is it going to be one that's kind of stood up as the tenant's established?
We're meaning this to be a single destination, one single video portal per tenant. That's the vision we have right now.
Not sure if I noticed the file types, but the most common thing I get is someone sends me an MOV file and tells me to put it on SharePoint. So what about MOV files, .mov? I didn't see that listed as a supported file type.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have an iPhone app, and so you'll be able to upload from there. Well, we have to work out the details. Right now, Azure Media Services doesn't support the .mov, but inside most video files that come from an iPhone, it's H.264 inside of it, and so they handle that. So if we just renamed the container, right, it'd be able to support it. So we're working out the details of licensing and that sort of thing. Okay.
So just before we go on, there's been a few questions around how we manage sort of associated content and how many of these do you get and so on. What I want to be really clear is that this is the first step in our vision on next generation portals, right? You saw Jeff in the keynote talk about the next gen portal. The portals are going to be a bigger architecture than this. You're going to be able to build many of them. They're going to have content in other forms that aren't just video. There's going to be, you know, written content and conversations and so on. So this is really an early step in how we're evolving the intranet. So some of the questions, when we say we don't quite have the answers yet, it's more that we don't have the answers with regards to this session and video. We're thinking about the portal and the futures of those, and this is just one part of that. Okay.
My question was about the list view 5,000 limit. Will that be impacted by this portal setup, and do you have plans to work around that either through channels or something else?
5,000 asset list
limit. I think the way to answer that is, you know, we're working very hard to remove all of the limitations along these lines. We don't believe that this is going to be a limitation on our current architecture. We're going to be able to scale. I mean, we're using Azure to bring, you know, the power behind it, and we are working with, you know, SharePoint to make sure that we unblock the growth so that we can have as many.
Excellent. Thank you.
Are you looking at integrated scenarios with link conference archiving and kind of how you bring forward the videos and streaming content that's created from Link as a conference?
So today, the way you record Link meetings is you actually record them on your disk. So you can easily upload that to the solution. It'll come up here. But we are also thinking about other advanced integrations in the future.
Okay. That's more of a shim than an integrated solution.
Yep.
Thumbnails. Are those user-defined? Can they pick a specific location within to define, or is that strictly made by the Azure service?
So we're starting out thumbnailing with a system-defined thumbnail that we select, but it's really high on our list to have a much more variegated thumbnailing model. And so I think some of the things we want to offer is we want to be able to offer kind of the end user being able to select the position, or the end user submitting an image that's a representative image. That those are possibilities that we're talking about. And then we're also talking about, in terms of kind of pointing at the timeline, being able to see thumbnails about around midpoints. You know, so we think of the first two things I talk about is more of a poster image that you use to represent the video, and other ones showing points in there. But it's something where our underlying data model supports a really variegated thumbnailing model, and so we have a lot of ideas what we're going to do. We want to hear feedback from people on what you want in that area.
Hi, okay. Is there a support for fingerprint extraction to identify duplicate videos and also search on YouTube and other sites? Is there support for fingerprint extraction to identify duplicate videos as well as search for videos on YouTube and other sites?
So is the question around, can we find duplicate videos in the portal and merge them? Is that the question, or?
It's more like the video security. We work for a media company, and we usually do this fingerprint extraction so that we can search against sites like YouTube if the same video has been uploaded to YouTube, or if it's more for proprietary videos.
I see. We don't have that capability in V1. One of the things we're looking at on our roadmap is Microsoft Research has technology where you can index all the audio in the video. We have plans to integrate that in the future. Once we do that, then applications like this can be built on top of the existing models and all that.
Thank you.
Hi. What about creating videos within the portal itself, like screen capture, webcam?
So the question is around, can you create videos within the portal?
Yeah.
It's not a scenario that, you know, is supported in V1 necessarily, but I'd love to talk more about that with you and get your input as far as like what sort of scenarios you would see supported there. You know, it's certainly possible to create a video on the fly and upload that to the portal right away. But if it's about taking that video and maybe this is what you're getting at, is taking and creating, like bringing content together, like in Office itself, right? And being able to create that video right there with the content that's bringing bubbling to the surface, is that?
Yeah, it's actually, you know.
Okay, yeah.
User-generated content.
That's a cool scenario, yeah.
So one of the things you will notice is in the iPhone app example we showed, you could actually turn on the camera and take a video there. So that's one kind of video. However, the feedback we have gotten in the past from most of our customers is they have dedicated tools they use today. Like some people use just Link to do screencasts, and the other people use Camtasia. Some other people use Professional. So I think we are trying to gauge how what is the right set of tools we need to build into the solution versus allow independence to the people. So today, it's however you create videos today will continue to work. However, that's why I think Gerald said we'd love to hear what specifically you were looking for so that we can kind of take a look at that as well.
Okay, thank you. And one more, what about captions? Adding captions to a video? Subtitles, yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely something that's on our roadmap, so we'll be addressing that as well. Okay, so I think unless there's other specific questions, we'll close the session, but we're happy to talk to folks if you want to come up or come by the booth and talk to us later, the customer programs, and you can sign up for the TAP program. Thanks, everybody.